Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of August 1st. Good grief, the year is going by fast. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling like I got my ESP is on full blast here, because I was just waiting for you to make a comment about how fast the year was going by. I was going, okay.
Yeah, well, it's going by quickly, and the heat, it's starting to heat up too, and I love it. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. I love how hot it's getting, and ready to talk about some baseball.
So if you hear humming and noise making, it won't be John's air conditioner, because he loves the heat.
Well, it might be in this case, but all right. On this week's show, we've got an interview with Brandon Laird of the Fighters. We're going to talk about Nippon Ham. We've got power tracks and a whole lot more, so let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, on Wednesday, I went out to Seibu Dome. And that seems to be where I've been doing most of my interviews recently. I don't know what's up with that, just because it's close.
That works.
And I got to sit down with Brandon Laird of the Fighters. He's a second-year import, and he is having a much better season, a much steadier season than he had last year. Last year, he got off to kind of a bad start. In fact, when we sat down to talk to him on JBW, one of the questions I asked was, how are you able to stay on the top team? Because usually when foreign players struggle this much, they get sent down to the farm and asked to, you know, work on things. And he was able to stay up. The team had faith in him, and the team showed that by keeping him in the lineup and playing him all the time. Of course, he played really good defense, too.
He did, and he hit a bunch of home runs.
So. And he hit with power, so that helped. But right now, he's got, as we go into games on Sunday, he has 26 home runs, and that's good for second in the PL, and he's fifth with 61 RBIs. You know, he's hitting 276 or around there. He's a strong defensive player, as I mentioned before. In fact, I would venture to say he's probably the best third baseman in the Pacific League if you go around and do the numbers. I think Nobuhiro Matsuda of the SoftBank Hawks is pretty good, but I think Brandon has more home runs, has hit more RBIs, barely.
He's certainly got more power, because obviously you can't compare one guy whose numbers come in that suspect Fukuoka down.
Oh, the bandbox.
It's the ESP is kicking in again.
All right, and so I talked to Brandon before we started taping. I talked to him about when he started to do his little sushi patting of the hands thing, but he actually couldn't remember exactly when that started. And he said he went to dinner with one of his coaches, and you know, the coach gave him a pep talk basically and said, we have faith in you, we believe that you can hit, and just do what you do. And the coach suggested, hey, you know, you like sushi so much, if you hit a home run, why don't you do that when you go around the bases? And so he did. He said he hit a home run the next day, and he started doing that, and since that, it's really taken off. So let's hear what Brandon had to say.
All right, we are glad to welcome back for a second time on the show, sushi chef Brandon Laird of the Fighters. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm all right. Thanks for asking. Now, it's this season has been a lot different from your first season with the Fighters. What's been different for you?
I think the main thing is just definitely experiencing it last year. You know, I was at an all-time low, and
an all-time.
Yeah, I mean, I never struggled that bad before, you know, and I bounced back pretty well. And then, you know, coming this year, I think it's all confidence and just having fun and enjoying being here.
All right, well, yeah, we're enjoying watching you, especially enjoy the hero interviews when you're doing a little bit of Japanese, so I can't wait for you to do the entire hero interview in Japanese, all right?
Yeah, hopefully I can get there. Right now I'm using a couple words here and there, but, you know, I just like to switch it up and keep the fans on their toes with something new all the time. So.
All right, now, you guys had this club record winning streak. How did you view coming to the park every day with that streak going?
It was fun, man. You know, it's just a lot of positive energy. You know, guys are joking around, enjoying it. Coaches are having a good time. I mean, that's what's most important. I feel like we're still doing that. You know, we're all doing our jobs. Pitchers are doing well. Bullpen's doing great. Lineup's doing great. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun.
Are you superstitious? Did you have something that you were doing, you know, once it got to five or six games that you were doing all the time that you kept on doing?
No, not that early. You know, it started getting to, like, the record, like, 11, 12. The media started asking a little more, you know. You guys going for the record, you know. we don't want to jinx it, but no, I mean, on a winning streak, I'm not really superstitious like that. I mean, if I'm on like a hitting streak or something, I'll try something, but...
All right, now what's the mindset? You win all these games and you look up and you're still behind the Hawks.
I mean, I feel like we got down just early to them. You know, they start off real well. I mean, they're a good team, but, you know, so are we. I mean, we're playing our best baseball right now, and we're right where we need to be. We got a big series coming up with them in about a week. You know, it's going to, you know, set the tone right there, so we're excited.
Now, I know last year you guys, you know, second place, all that got you was a date with the Lotte Marines in the first round of the playoffs, and that wasn't a fun play date. What's the focus level on catching SoftBank?
Just to do what we do. You know, we look back at the last time we played them, we swept them at their place. And then
you swept everybody in that time. Come on now.
And you know, now the next series, they come to our, you know, support them. And, you know, we're going to have our best pitchers going at them, and they're probably going to have the best pitchers going at us. So, you know, it's going to be fun.
How do you guys try to come through with a title at the end?
Just not try to do too much, you know. Just play them, play every time how we played them earlier in the year. You know, I feel like we match up great against them. Our pitching, I mean, is not the best in the league, I think. You know, we have a great lineup. And also when Otani's pitching, he's also hitting, and that just helps our lineup even more. So you know, I feel like we just do what we've been doing all year, and good things will happen.
Speaking of Shohei Otani, I mean, he pitches, he hits. How do you value a guy like that?
I mean, I'm still trying to figure that out. I mean, he's been unbelievable this year. I mean, he's in like 350 with 11 and 25 RBIs. And on the mound, he's just unbelievable. So, I mean, I'm glad he's on our team. And, I mean, he can pretty much win a baseball game by himself. You know, when he's in the lineup and then go out there and pitch. So, you know, that's nice.
What changes have you seen in him as a hitter this year?
I think he's just... I'd say like confidence. I mean, and I feel like he's hitting more this year. We're using him, you know, like 3-4 days a week. You know, it just makes our lineup stronger. I mean, it makes it easier when you're getting every day at bats. Last year, I mean, I don't feel like he hit as much, and when you get in there, it's kind of tough to hit live pitching. So.
Now, you guys have a lot of outstanding young players as well, especially outfielders. Who's one of the guys in the system you think is going to really have a bright future?
I mean, they're all. I mean, I feel like I'm old on this team, but I mean,
you're not allowed to use the old card.
I know, but I mean, everybody here is like 20, 21, 22. But I mean, Nishikawa's great. I mean, he's got a lot of tools. Can run, you know, hits, bunts. Oka's doing a great job. I mean, he's come up and swung the bat well. Plays a good right field. I think bright future. He's not here right now, but Osama. I mean, that kid can play, man. He's got a great approach, good swing. Play outfield, and he's got a great arm, so he's got a good future ahead of him.
And that's a kid I like. I was hoping you would say his name. Now, when you look at Sho Nakata, what kind of player do you see?
I mean, he's a great player. You know, I just feel like hitting right now, I mean, I would say I don't feel like he's where he wants to be right now. But, I mean, we still got, you know, 2 months left, or if not longer. But, I mean, he's starting to swing the bat well, better, and that's what we're going to need if we're going to want to win this year. I mean, he's a big power bat in our lineup, and I think he's going to be just fine. He's going to be starting to come around.
Now, recently they had a tweak of the collision rule, which they changed in the offseason. So we got the new rule, then the new tweak of the new rule. And what do you know about it, and what's your take on it?
My honest opinion of what I know about it?
We always want your honest opinion, Brandon.
I don't know anything about it.
I knew you were going to say that.
We had a meeting in the clubhouse, and they told us we didn't have to be there, so I wasn't even there. I mean, I'm just going to slide. I mean, I'm not trying to hurt anybody or take anybody out. But, I mean, I know a little bit about the rule. They can't block the plate and all this stuff. So, I mean, that's as much as I know about it.
Yeah, I want to know, like, how did they explain it to you coming into the season? And obviously they made a change, but how did they explain it to you in the first place?
Just like he can't be in front of the plate without the ball. I mean, he's got to pretty much give you the plate. And then once he catches the ball, he can get in there. Because I remember last year saying, I mean, these guys, somebody's going to get hurt. They're literally standing right in front of the plate. And, I mean, guys were sliding into him and hurting. We were getting hurt, you know. And it's like you're taught to go in hard, but you don't want to hurt them either. So, I mean, they just explained that. I mean, pretty much they got to give you the plate. And then if they block it too early, they're going to review it. So, that was pretty much what they explained to us.
All right. Yeah, obviously we don't want anybody to get hurt. My interpretation is just try to slide like you're going to be safe at second base. And then when you get to home plate, try to avoid a collision as much as possible, as humanly possible. But it's not always possible, in my opinion.
I mean, it's not. Especially if you know, if it's catcher's directly in front of the plate, you have nowhere to slide. I mean, you don't want to really slide right into his shin guards. I mean, get hurt, you know. So you want to go in. I mean, you're taught to go in strong. But, I feel like that's what they're trying to avoid is injuries and people getting seriously hurt.
Okay. All right, well, you got to hit those Japanese books and get on that language ability, but hit the ball a little bit more for us, all right?
All right, sounds good.
All right, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks a lot, Brandon. Always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Now, we did have a chat earlier in the year with Brandon, and we were going to try to use it on the show,
we
but
did.
It just didn't work out.
It didn't work out, and I apologize for that. It was a great one, and I have my new opening. I got my newest opening line for all my interviews from that one. So I haven't tried it on anybody else, but we'll hear it.
Okay, one of these days.
One of these days, Alice.
So I thought it was really interesting that he said Ohtani could win a game single-handedly when Brandon uses his hands after he hits his home runs to make that sushi thing. So
well, it would be like making sushi with one hand.
Almost with one hand. So what stuck out for you?
Well, how would he? I want to know how he'd win it single-handedly when he's a right-handed hitter and a left. Excuse me, when he's a right-handed pitcher and a left-handed hitter.
Right.
Okay, try that one. Okay, yeah. Pete Gray. We're in a Pete Gray area.
Oh no.
Okay. That was something.
We are now
correct. Okay, what stood out for me? I guess, you know, I talk to Brandon Laird often because A, he's a very, bubbly, positive, optimistic. Even when things were rotten, I think he looked like talking to us was a good thing.
Yeah.
Which is not always the case. But, I remember, I'll say one thing. Now, on last June, June 30th, Brandon was batting 183 with 12 home runs. He had a 630 OPS, you know, which would be like, well, I guess Kenta Imamiya wouldn't have thrown that away. But
stop it.
I mean, then, not now. Now he'd go, 630? Are you kidding? Moi? Okay. Anyway, from July 1st last season, he batted 278 with 22 homers, 945 OPS, and you can see more or less that he's maintained that performance.
Right.
Since the middle of last year, so good for him. And I'll agree with you. He does play really good defense. He has that pop in the lineup. I guess he has the only consistent power in that lineup. And I say only consistent one is because Shohei Ohtani doesn't bat often enough.
And Sho Nakata doesn't stay consistent.
He is an inconsistent hitter, yes.
Gotcha.
And same with Nishikawa, as I've mentioned before. So.
Okay, well, I thought that was an interesting comment that him saying, obviously, Ohtani can win the game when he's pitching and batting fifth. And, this is unprecedented stuff to see a pitcher in a league where the pitchers don't bat, not only get to bat, but get to bat in a really important spot in the lineup and produce. So I just love seeing it. But the reason I asked him the question about the collision situation was to get a gauge on the way the import players are talked to about this thing. Because obviously you and I, speaking the language, we hear what goes on the Japanese side. You know, we don't have to wait for someone to explain it to us. We understand it. We get it. But when you're at the mercy of having somebody have to explain it to you, it just seemed like to me that the foreign guys, because my worst fear is still either that late in the season or even in a playoff situation, we have a close play at the plate that's decided by a review or something because somebody's got a toenail on the line here.
Oh, you lose sleep over that, do you?
No, I'm just concerned about it. I don't lose sleep.
Well,
it's too
precious.
Well, you said
it was the worst fear, so I was thinking...
It's
okay,
too precious. Yeah, well, yeah. I'm still going to sleep.
Earthquakes, tsunamis. Wait, hold on.
Even with my worst fears out there, I'm still going to get my rest. The goblins and ghosts can wait till I get up.
Well, that's like Brandon. I mean, it was a nightmare last year, but he still managed to get his sleep and keep moving forward.
Right.
And, yeah, I thought that was interesting. Ironically, I talked to Chris Martin about that the night Brandon Laird crossed the plate seconds before the first video overturning of an out call at home plate occurred at Cebu Dome. And I asked Chris Martin about it after the game, and he says they told us, like, you know, don't breathe on home plate.
Stay away from it.
Exactly. It's not good for you.
You could get hurt out there.
Indeed.
So, you know, I really didn't expect to get that answer. But as soon as he said, you know, can I really be honest with you? Or I want to be honest with you. I knew he was going to come around and say something similar to that. And it just doesn't, I don't know if it's true with the other players, you know, that they haven't thoroughly been versed on the matter. And it's just kind of an aside, but like I said, the worst thing that can happen is we have a playoff situation that we have some murky rule and not people don't understand it. But anyway, you know, he talked about the positive attitude, and that's what I thought you were going to get to, is that, you know, he talked about the positive attitude that the team had during that winning streak. And I thought you were going to say, you know, it's not magic and unicorns and rainbows when you come to the to the stadium. It's like, we're going to win. We just know we're going to win. And then you go out there and win. And, you know, they were good. They were playing really well.
They were playing very well.
But, you know, the positive attitude and stuff, and I know you can't quantify it, but I think the wheels were turning in unison, things were in sync, and they just put it together. I think, you know, that was a good stretch. But the key is going to be for them to hold on and to keep playing well the rest of the season.
I talked to Cam Micolaio of the Eagles yesterday, and we were talking about this subject about teams being upbeat. Because the Japanese guys always look upbeat in practice, and they're always yipping and yelling. And of course, we're used to sort of different levels of that.
Right.
But everybody always looks positive, even when they're really playing badly. And I said, "Do you ever notice the difference?" He's not really, but and then I said, "But sometimes when I see their at bats, I feel like, okay, they're not like really trying hard." So I see that sometimes, but and he went, yeah. So I'm not 100% certain whether he agreed with me or if he had another thought that he didn't want to bring up or something, but that's what we were talking about.
All right, maybe he was like, let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah, it could be. I can't say that went over his head because I can't say anything that goes over Cam's head.
There you go, but I'm bummed. All right, well, let's talk about the fighters a little bit. Now, I did speak to Masato Yoshii, the pitching coach, about Ohtani, and he said, well, the thing that he notices is the control on all his pitches, but in particular the secondary stuff. Anything that's not a fastball, he's able to control it a little bit better, and that's why he's keeping guys off base. And we talked about his whip, and I asked him specifically, you know, why is his whip so low? Why is it he's so good? And he just pointed to the control. He said, look, he already throws really hard anyway. And if he's going to pinpoint pitches that guys are not expecting, or that, you know, if guys are sitting on fastballs and they're trying to make an adjustment mid-swing to an off-speed pitch, they're not going to get it. So so that's one of the biggest reasons. And they're having a great series with the SoftBank Hawks this weekend. We're obviously taping before Game 3, but the first game the Hawks took, and they pushed their lead to 5 games in the Pacific League. But Ohtani had 3 hits, including his 12th home run.
Yes, 12th home run.
Including
career high
12th home run. And then the Fighters won on Saturday night in a walk-off at Game 2. So I was listening on the radio, and the announcer said that they played 2-run games, so games that only with a 2-run difference, 12 times this year. So this is going to be fun, you know, if we see these two teams.
You mean the Hawks and the Fighters?
The Hawks and the Fighters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of their games, 12 of them have been decided by 2 or fewer runs.
I see. One of the things, I did something a little different this week. I was, you know, every year, every month, we talk about, you know, the players of the month and who should be the winning pitcher of the month, which is the official NPB award. you know, the winning pitcher of the month and the highest and the best hitting, the best 400 average hitter of the month.
You're changing your name for it every time we talk about it.
Why not? Okay, well, actually, I think I'm settling in on these ones because that seems to be the best name for the awards. So anyway, so I thought I'd look at relievers because I normally just look at guys who might win the award. And the thing that struck me is the guys who are two of the three guys at the top of NPB's WHIP. I don't know what WHIP rankings
right.
sounds like. Maybe you don't want to be in it or something.
Get off me.
But
the whipping boys. How about that?
Indeed. Could be the WHIP boys. Well, these guys are holding the WHIP. And Chris Martin and Naoki Miyanishi. The fighters' bullpen has been kind of up and down recently, but these two guys, since they made Chris Martin the closer just before the All-Star break, I think just into July, he's just been red hot. And Miyanishi, who has been really good, so I wanted to comment about those two, just really steady.
Yeah, they've been steady, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, we've seen the fighters, even though they keep throwing Yuki Saito out there, they're not afraid to go to the bullpen when guys get into trouble, but they haven't had to with their big...
Well, that's like saying, you know, they're not afraid to go to the bullpen.
Early.
But they're not afraid to go to the... Well, if you've got Yuki Saito out there, you better not be afraid to go to the bullpen early.
You better be afraid to go to the starter.
You better be afraid to go to the ballpark.
Hashtag hygiene.
I mean, and I say that... And I have said on the podcast that I think he's made progress, but and I think he has. I think he's a much better pitcher now than he was 3 years ago, but he's still inconsistent. He doesn't have great stuff. He doesn't, you know, there's sort of like, at what point can you trade him?
Trade? Oh, come on. But yeah.
Okay, we'll get to the blockbuster trades later.
But I think. Exactly, that they're not afraid to go to the bullpen early, and they don't worry about getting to the back of the bullpen in a close game because they're confident in the guys. And so, you know, during that streak, even a lot of guys came out of the bullpen and produced.
They did indeed. We saw two guys we haven't seen this year. One is Hisashi Takeda.
Takeda, yeah.
You know, and almost we might not see him again for a while. He's coming off two bad knees and one knee surgery.
Yeah, he did not look good.
No, and the other was Naoya Ishii, Silent K.
Right.
And he's pitched twice now. So
Former Dragon?
And former Dragon, former Bay Star.
Well, that's right. He had a stint at the Bay Star,
that's
too.
That's right. And so he's maybe effective. And looks like, you know, Takeda's back to the drawing board, but that's, you know, that's something to look forward to.
Now, yeah, back in I think it was the Darvish era with the fighters, Yoshii was the pitching coach at that time as well, and he was writing a blog, and I would check out his blog once in a while, and remember he always used to write that pitching starts with the fastball.
Okay.
And that was his thing, and so I said, hey man, I read your blog before, you know, you're telling me about his control and how good it is, and how that's the main reason why Ohtani's doing so well. But I remember you saying the fastball, and he said, well, okay, the fastball and control.
Yoshii likes to cover his bets. You know, he likes to go to the racetrack. He likes his horses. And so I think he knows which angles he's got to cover.
Right, right. And then I also talked to Makoto Kaneko, the longtime infielder for the fighters, who's now a coach, and I think he's helping out with the batting. That I don't understand why, and I don't think he does either. But anyway, we talked,
that's mean. He understands it. I wonder if he said the same thing. I wonder if he. Yeah, I can believe he'd say that because he's funny. I wonder if he. I think he understands it, but I wonder if he tells the guys, look, most of these at bats don't matter. Wait until you get somebody on base.
Right, that's the way you used to hit.
Sweat. That's when you can sweat.
So I was asking, I said, well, you know, I've seen this team now win all these games. It was Wednesday. They still hadn't lost more than two games since that streak had started. And I said, you know, you win this much, and you're still a good distance away from first place. You know, not too far, but you would expect to be a little bit closer, if not in first place. And he said, yeah, yeah, the rest of the Pacific League hasn't really been doing its job against the Hawks. And I'm like, well, they haven't been doing the job against you guys either. So why would you expect them to beat the Hawks? And he's like, well, that's a good point.
Whereas Oryx has been doing their job everywhere. You know, what's up with that? Oryx is the only one who beats those two guys, which is, I guess, a good sign for Oryx. But
it shows that they can actually compete if they put their minds to it. But so the other thing I talked about, which was really interesting with Kaneko, was that I feel like even in a basketball situation or an NFL football situation or even in baseball, the team in front that's being chased, if it's a young team, it's a lot harder for that team to hold on. And he said, you know, he actually told me this. He says, yeah, you know, I think we're in the right spot. We're a few games back is the perfect place to be because the young players stay focused and they're not worried. They're not nervous. They just want to win. But if we were to get into the lead, they'd start looking back and they'd be nervous and they'd be a little bit, the mindset would be a little bit different. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting because that's the way I've always felt. You know, the younger team, it's harder for that younger team to hold the lead. It's better for them to just focus on attacking.
Mm. I don't know if it's harder, but it's certainly a different dynamic. It sounds, you know, more pseudo-psychologically correct.
Right. It's not counterintuitive.
That's a nicer way to put it.
Okay. All right, well, let's make a four-seam transition and go to Power Tracks. All right, so I was able to talk to Patrick Newman, who's in the Bay Area in California, and this was on Wednesday night, so let's take a listen. All right, joining us for the Power Tracks segment is Patrick Newman. How's it going, buddy? Good to talk to you. Thank you for waking up early.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, the last time we talked to you, I don't even remember what was happening because it's been so long. So
I actually have my notes up from the last time. It was June 21st, and SoftBank was on top of the world.
And they're pretty much still on top of the world, but there's another team that's probably right up there alongside of them.
Yeah, they've been joined at the top of the world by Nippon Ham, who has gone 19-2 since we've last spoke. So, and they had a 15-game winning streak at some point, not exactly over those 21 games, but they had a 15-game winning streak, and they followed that up with a 5-game winning streak. So at one point, they were 21-2 since they started this winning streak toward the end of Interleague. They've only lost 2 games to Oryx here, and they've joined SoftBank at the top of the Pacific League standings. They're only 3.5 out,
right,
which is...
Yeah, 2 games and during this, well, since they got hot, let's say.
Yeah, since they got hot, they've picked up probably 6.5, 7 games on SoftBank, and then now they're only 3.5 back for the league title. So I didn't think SoftBank would really see any serious competition given the start that they got, and they really have continued to play well. But Nippon Ham's right there with them, so we're going to be in for a great treat the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, and I'm glad it's a race. And I was ready to hand SoftBank, and I still kind of, I mean, I'll have to see it to believe it, because I think passing a team like this, you know, because the Hawks started way back in this thing, right? To pass a team, have a great run like this, and pass a team and keep the lead, I think is an even more challenging and daunting task.
But, well, especially a team that isn't really playing bad. You know, they're not winning at the same pace that they were early in the year, but that would be a little unrealistic to expect them to. But
yeah, they were playing almost 750 ball most of the time. And so now
when they weren't losing, they were tying games. So
I think I tweeted that once. Okay.
So I actually have SoftBank third. And the reason is that Hiroshima has kept up their pace, basically with where they're at, and they're 18-5 since the last Power Tracks, and they lost to Yomiuri today. But aside from that, they've continued at pace, and they don't show any signs of slowing down. And I read an article saying that if they were to win 2 games in a row against Yomiuri, they would have a magic number of 39. But obviously, that hasn't happened, so they'll have to wait a little bit. But either way, they've got a big lead on the rest of the league, and it's looking like their year finally. So great for the Hiroshima fans.
Yeah, it's good for them. And the advantage that they have is they get to play against CL teams the rest of the way. Yeah. So
So that's been my only reluctance in having them at second in the Power Tracks rankings, because the quality of competition is not quite what it is in the Pacific League. No, but still, credit where it's due. They're having a great year.
Okay.
I have SoftBank third. SoftBank is 14-11 since we last spoke. That sort of poor production from the top of the lineup has crept back in. They had Shuhei Fukuda leading off a couple of the games. And the other thing I noticed is that their starters have given up four of the top five home runs in the league. I think WADA leads the league with something like 14 home runs allowed. And Vanden Herk and Higashihama and Senga are all around 10 or 11. And that's a little unfair because they throw a lot of innings, but I think overall... Overall, SoftBank staff has given up the most home runs in the league. And if you have a team like Nippon Ham that has four or five guys who can go deep, that'll be an interesting dynamic the rest of the way.
Yeah, that's interesting because I saw someone call the Fukuoka Dome a bandbox now. That's the way they're referring to it. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to go that far. But it is easier to hit home runs, but I'm not going to go bandbox in on them.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, since they put that new section in the shallow outfield or the in front of the outfield wall, yeah, there's definitely been a spike in home runs there. But so that's a little bit of an interesting sort of dynamic between the two competitors. It's just that Nippon Ham happens to have a good row of sluggers there.
Right.
So really interesting to see the rest of the season how that plays out.
Okay. And then who do you have at the bottom now?
So Oryx has competed their way off the bottom.
Congratulations!
to the Blue Wave, and I have to the Buffaloes.
It happens to me and Jim all the time.
Yeah, the Braves. They're wearing those throwback uniforms. Right. I actually haven't watched them a lot lately. But just looking, following along at home, they swept SoftBank, I think, early in the month, if I remember correctly. And those two losses that Nippon Ham suffered this month were both at the hands of Oryx. So, and they have Lotte in their division too. So give them some credit for hanging in there and getting off the bottom. Hanshin I have as 11th. Hanshin's offense is just on life support for the most part until they blew up for 9 runs against Yakult today. So one inning. So this team has struggled to score runs. And I think they scored 5 runs a week or so ago. And that was the first time they had scored more than 4 since early June.
Yeah, there's some problems out there. There's a lot of things going on out there in Hanshin land.
So it's been kind of an up and down year for them, but at the moment they're more down than up, today's game notwithstanding. So we'll see if they can make a run. And the saving grace for them is that the rest of the Central League, aside from Hiroshima, is not exactly crushing it. So if they find a way to break out of their slumps, then maybe they can get back into a playoff position.
Yeah, the things in the Central League are starting to play out like I foresaw and predicted, but still need some other things to happen to be right on that side. But I've seen my Dragons. They've really competed well, considering they really don't have a rotation and they're trying to bring back guys who are injured, but they tumbled in the last place today after another loss, and they really haven't done well since the All-Star break, so it might be the beginning of the end for them in those terms.
I have Chunichi at 9th, and I have watched them play against Yakult a couple of games, and they are competitive, so they're playing competitive games, and they're not a doormat, so that's kind of their real advantage that I have, and they're getting good production out of their foreign players. They're not quite as hot as they were at the beginning of the year, but they're still contributing, and I think that's a real difference to what we see in Hanshin's lineup.
Right. Yeah, they actually have them tied with the Tigers at the moment here on Wednesday night for fifth place. But, you know,
yeah.
if you, yeah. as a great man once said, if you're not first, you're in last.
yeah. And then at the bottom of the barrel, I have Cebu. And this is kind of reminiscent of last year. So Cebu last year had, what, a 13-game losing streak or a 15-game losing streak? Right around this time of year, as I recall.
Yeah, I don't think it was 15, but I know that they hit the skids. And
yeah, it was ugly, though, I mean, for their team.
Yeah, it seemed like it never end. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a painful losing streak. And they haven't strung together that many losses in a row as they had last year, but they just don't seem to be able to get anything going. So they'll win one and then lose five, and then they'll win one and then lose four. And that's basically how things have gone for them since Interleague came to a conclusion. So they're the light at the end of the tunnel for them would be to start pitching and playing defense better, but I don't know how you just do that in the middle of the year. So it doesn't look like they're going to really be competitive at this point.
Yeah, and I was out there today and I talked to the beat writer and he told me that the, you know, obviously Nabe 2 isn't really highly thought of anymore, and even Shiozaki, who was supposed to maybe take over that team and be the manager next year or in the future, isn't really on that pedestal anymore, and that they're looking around now. They're looking around for different guys. So that's a bad scene out there.
Yeah, I wonder who from the Cebu tradition could come in and take over. I'm not, you know, if they could get Ito away from Lotte somehow, yeah, because he was a longtime Cebu player.
Yeah, so, yeah, and he's having great success with the Marines, but
yeah,
but he wasn't highly thought of when he left.
Yeah,
so I don't think that's a great spot for him to go back.
Well, it doesn't seem to be a great spot for anyone. So, I don't know what they do in leadership. They also, I think, the other thing that they really need to address in the draft or in free agency is a shortstop.
Yep.
So they just get no production out of that position.
Yep.
So, I don't really see them breaking through and competing with Nippon Ham, the SoftBank, and Lotte this year, which is a shame because they do have some talent, but it's not their year.
All right, yeah, I think it was a 13 game franchise worst 13 gaming streak last year, so that doesn't bode well for this year because I don't think they have a lot of motivation right now. So anyway, all right, well, thank you very much. We appreciate you taking the time and looking over both the leagues, and we'll be looking for some more Power Tracks next month.
Yep, always a pleasure. And hi, Jim. I hope I got it right this time.
All right, have a good day.
All right, thanks.
I think you just offended the people in the Monterey Bay area.
I did?
Yeah.
Sorry, Monterey folks, what did I do?
Well, you said that Patrick was in the Bay Area in California.
There's only one Bay Area.
There is. Well, okay. We're gonna leave the rivalries out of it. I'll just move on. Anyway, I thought that was really good, Patrick, and thanks for remembering me. I thought, you know, just spot on, pretty much top to bottom. No play, you know, nothing you said this time set me off like last time. So, what do you mean about that? What are you talking about that guy like he's a nobody? So we're not going there. But I enjoyed that. I thought the Lions discussion was interesting. I thought, pretty much spot on. And I guess the thing that stuck in my mind when I was looking through. Sorting through numbers or sifting through numbers last night was that the Dragons' record in the past month has been, or the past 4 weeks, has been 7-13. And one of my Tigers fans friends was commenting that the Dragons were trying to out-sprint the Tigers to the bottom of the Central League. Well, they've got some competition there now, but anyway, in that period in which they won 7 and lost 13, they've scored 88 runs.
88,
and they've
okay.
allowed 89.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not really a 7-13. You know, that's a 7-8. That's a 9-10 record. So, it's they're better than they look, is what I would tell you.
Hmm. All right. Well, so, having watched, I mean, yeah, I try to watch as many games at once as I can, and
how do you remember all those games?
I don't know. They are competing, but they've done that all season. Mm-hmm. You know, it hasn't been anything new, and sometimes they explode for some runs. And I think that was after I had done Power Tracks with Patrick that the Dragons scored 15 runs or something in a game, or maybe it was the same night. But they've had this whole thing, this whole season, they've been competitive. That's not been the problem. They just, you know, they're not winning enough games, and that's where the 7-13 comes in. You know, when it's over and done, they're on the wrong end. But you know, so are the Marines recently. They've had their problems, and they haven't been hitting. They haven't been pitching well out of the bullpen. They lost a game last night that looked like they basically had wrapped up, and then Yafet Amador comes off the bench with his first home run in Japan, and he just about knocked the foul pole over in left field last night with this shot, and they end up losing this game. So, and that's what's the same. They've been really competitive, but they've been losing a lot of games and not scoring.
Yeah, I think your comment about the Marines is spot on. You know, I ran the team's bullpen whip.
Mm-hmm.
And number one in Japan the last 20 days, last 28 days. Oh, I say 20. I don't know why that number came up to me. Dragons were the best, 0.94.
Mm.
The 1 through 4 were Dragons, Fighters, Tigers, Giants.
For bullpen whip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the bottom four, number 9, the Hawks.
Interesting.
Number 10, the Carp.
Hmm.
11, the Marines. And 12, the Bay Stars.
So the four teams that are basically in playoff position right now, and the top two in either league are near the bottom.
Yeah, the four guys are the four of the top teams are at the bottom, and two of the top teams are near the top.
Interesting stuff. Yeah. That's
okay.
Good.
Which means that's, you know, I guess we shouldn't be making our season picks on 4-week bullpen whip.
No, we shouldn't. And then, obviously, since I went out to Sabre Dome to talk to Brandon Laird, I got a chance to talk to the beat writer for the Lions when I was out there. And that team kind of is an organizational mess right now.
Mm.
Things are not good in Tokorozawa. I heard from the writer that Nori Otanabe is not looked at in a strong light these days. And and so I said, well, Shiozaki is supposed to be the next guy in line to turn over. And he said, yeah, that's not looking too favorable these days either. And there are rumors about other people, former Lions, possibly taking over.
Yeah, somebody threw the name Koji Akiyama at me the other day.
Huh, okay, so I heard the same name. So that's a great place to start, if you ask me.
That's a great place to start, especially if they turn off the no smoking sign in the mirror room back there.
Oh, please do. Please do. So, yeah, that's that's a potential new direction. It's, like I said, just a rumor at the moment, but the team is a mess. It really needs a shortstop. It needs a steady third baseman. And it needs a pitcher or two to pan out here, whether starter or reliever. They're just not and they're never going to look good if that defense is playing behind them, whoever it is. And just like Patrick said in Power Tracks, you don't start playing better defense in the middle of the season. It's really not going to change unless you change personnel.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that.
So lots of problems out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess we have to touch on the Yakult Swallows. You know, have a look at their hospital chart.
We don't have to.
Yeah, no, I think we.
It hurts
we do.
To look at.
It does. It's
could actually get injured looking at it.
It's like an open sore. It might be infectious, and I think. It occurred to me yesterday that, you know, for years, you know, I'd said, I guess I had the running joke, and I wish it had stopped running, about there being more ambulances outside Jingu Stadium than taxis.
Right.
But I think last season was proof that the Yakult Swallows are essentially a Japanese revival of Damn Yankees. they sold their soul to the devil for a healthy season in which they would win a pennant, and now they reverted to being injured out of contention.
Right. Yeah.
So just a very brief outfielder Yuhei Takai is out for the time being, at least. Third baseman Shingo Kawabata is out.
broken bone, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And first baseman Kazuhiro Hatakeyama, who was the Central League RBI leader last season, he's been shut down. He's got chronic pain in his Achilles tendon. I don't remember left or right, and he had a hand injury. So they're just going to focus on him getting better for next year, which is like, wow. I mean, it's, you know, he's not the greatest player in the world. There could be I'm thinking that it's very likely that by the time he's ready to play again, that the Swallows may have found somebody better.
Yeah.
But you know, but again, he is a proven player of some caliber. So you don't want to have to be filling up those spots.
Right. And one other injury to note, I think it happened last week on Sunday after we taped, was Tsuyoshi Nishioka of the Hanshin Tigers ruptured an Achilles. So he's out for the season. So there have been a lot of injuries. And it's unfortunate. I don't like to see him as a guy who's always been competitive and athletic. I know what it's like to be on the sidelines and not be able to contribute or just get out there and do what you do because you're injured. So I hate seeing it. I always hate seeing it.
Mm.
All right. Some notes.
I guess with the notes, I want to mention this, and I forgot to tell you.
Oh.
I was thinking, one of the things I noticed this week, and I'm kind of look, you know, every week to see how the teams are tracking, is I don't want to take any of Patrick's thunder away.
No thunder from the power tracks.
Oh, man, no. I feel like I'm dealing with Thor there. So, but anyway, the best and worst quality start percentage.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And right now, the Hawks, 79%.
Mm-hmm.
Giants 68%.
Mm-hmm.
This is over the last 4 weeks, so just the current trend. Carp 50%. Buffalo's Marines, Fighters are all hanging in there behind them. And the interesting bit of that group is the Hawks have the best starter ERA.
Okay.
2.06, and the starters are going almost 7 innings a game.
Wow.
So I guess that's sort of like saying, yeah, bullpen, you know. Whip Schmip. Let the starters Schmip go 7 with an ERA of 2, and you can keep your bullpen.
Wow.
So the outlier in there is the Carp, whose starter's ERA is 3.82.
Uh-huh, 3.82.
So kind of hit and miss. Three teams that are struggling with their starting pitching recently, the Bay Stars have continued to struggle, but I think a lot of that is by choice, because I think Alex Ramirez has been taking his starters out in the fifth inning a lot. If they get 90 pitches or he doesn't like the matchup the third time through the lineup, he's been pulling his guys.
Uh-huh.
The worst starter ERA among these teams I'm mentioning is the Dragons, 5.16. Worse than the Swallows. Wow.
Mm.
You might be able to get an award for being worse than the Swallows at anything.
Wow.
Hashtag. Hi.
So anyway, so I thought I'd mention that. And I guess another thing worth mentioning, or maybe the listeners have an idea, is, you know, we got to come up with a nickname for Yoshitomo Tsutsugo. Because this guy is just like, he's out of control, you know.
Yeah, he is. I was going to go through some numbers. He has
A week ago, he hit six home runs in 3 games, 2 in each. He had another 2-run home run game on Friday.
Right. He has 6 multi-homer games this month.
I know.
He's got 16 jacks in July.
Okay.
And, you know, he's getting the sexy numbers. I threw it out there on the homepage first, mm-hmm. but I tweeted it yesterday too and had a discussion with one of my tweeps.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the sexy numbers, you know, there's no reason that he can't be in the conversation for MVP because
absolutely.
He's really carrying this team. He's uplifted it. But the thing to remember about the Bay Stars, which I didn't mention in Power Tracks, is they've been winning a lot too, and yet they're still not they're still not in second place because the Giants keep doing what they do, which is, you know, they keep running whoever, it doesn't really matter what the name on the back of the jersey is out there, the guy comes up and keeps them in the game, whether it's a pitcher or hitter or, you know, on the defensive side. Yesterday they rolled out Ryota Wakia for a start and he had 2 hits. So your buddy.
yeah, sort of like a utility guy.
Yeah, so I mean,
he wasn't playing in right field, was he?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Don't ask. Don't ask, don't tell.
But no, they've had, of course, the newspapers were attributing that Giants sort of turnaround to, interestingly enough, to putting Chono in the number one spot, and Itaro Hashimoto in the number two spot, which is probably ridiculous, but whatever knows. And I think, interestingly enough, because Yoshinobu Takahashi, the Giants manager, had his career year when Tatsunori Hara stuck him in the leadoff spot, and he took it as a personal insult because he was an RBI guy.
Right. But getting back to Tsutsugo and his his nickname.
Yeah. I'm thinking,
what was your idea?
Well, I we could call him Tsutsugon or Tsutsugogo. And then I was thinking of Mahagogo, which to the your Japanese people is a speed racer. So anyway, right. how about Maha Nigo, which is because he's number 25. Although I think that's a true mashup, because I'm trying to mash up numbers and other words that throw in there. I sound like Frank Rampin telling me his showing me his Japanese pun ability and making me cringe.
Oh, Frank, so, with the Lotte Marines. Yeah,
he came up to me one day and said, "You know who's got the best name in Japanese baseball?" And I said, Don't even tell me. And he said, Hirokazu Ibata, because he's a good batter.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so here's to you, Frank. We miss you. At least we miss most of you.
Right. Ni is two, and go is five.
Five.
So,
the meaning has some other, there are some other parts of meaning that aren't contained in that. So anyway, throw this out to you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a better nickname. And if you don't, I think you have to turn in your union card.
All right, so just hashtag that Tsutsugo nickname so that we can see that. All right.
We need a good one.
And I'm looking forward to something better than that. Okay,
yeah, please save me.
Yeah, no problem. Tetsuto Yamada, I just feel like we don't give him enough love, enough credit on the show. Huh. We keep doing the Shohei Ohtani stuff, and it's well deserved, I think, but we've got to pay some attention to Tetsuto here, and we should. Yamada is on this is en route to this unprecedented back-to-back triple three season, and he's really doing it with ease. The steals are probably going to be the last to come, but
yeah,
he's already hit the 30
true.
Home run barrier.
He needs two more.
Yeah, and he's already hit 30 home runs. He's locked in as a 300 hitter, it'll be set. So I think this is pretty incredible stuff that we're watching. This is like a renaissance, I think, of
it is.
In Japanese baseball, to see these guys do this the past couple 3 years here. To, you know, we've got a two-way player again. We've got guys hitting, running, having triple three seasons in two leagues, and then another guy having a triple three back-to-back. That's pretty incredible stuff, and it's really fun to watch these guys. Now, the only thing I have to say about Yamada is he's got to work on his because he's kind of in a slump right now. It looks like everybody is attacking that area. He's that lower third of the zone, and his heat maps have shown that while it's not a cold zone, he doesn't have any cold zones. That it's kind of lukewarm for him, and that he's going to have to improve across that lower third of the zone in hitting balls down, you know, down by his ankles. And that's where a lot of people have been getting him out recently. They started out at the knees, and it drops down, and he's not able to stay with him recently.
Well, he'll figure that one out. I think he's got all the ability to. As far as not giving him enough love, I did a story on him on Wednesday, and my colleague said, It kind of throws some water on your story when Tsutsugo's blowing him out of the water. I said, I know, I got to run and do a Tsutsugo story now, you know, just for sort of like equal time.
Right. All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, the first one is a holdover, and Max, we will get to you right away. But this one is from Costa Freak, who said he actually, I thought he said it was not a, this is not for the show, so I didn't really pay attention. But when he when he resent it, it had the high heat on there. So
okay.
He says, have there been any significant trades not involving Yoshio Itoi or Hiroki Kokubo within the last 30 years, hashtag high heat.
No, that's the trades were invented when Kokobo was sent to the Giants.
Hashtag
high heat. Oh, okay, I'm just pulling your leg. I can only talk about the ones I know, obviously, and you said 30 years, which is, I think, was artfully designed to include my time in Japan. I'll go back a little long before that with the most famous trade in history, perhaps, when the Hanshin Tigers sent rookie pitcher, hadn't thrown a ball in anger, Suguru Egawa, to the Yomiuri Giants for Sawamura Award winner Shigeru Kobayashi. Which is, you got to look that one up. I mean, I can't explain it here in 2 hours, so I'll skip that. Anyway, that was unprecedented and has remained on. There have been no repeats of that one.
What year was that?
1979, January.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. 1986. After the 1986 season, there was a 4-for-1 trade.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, okay. Was basically the Lotte Orion's Hiromitsu Ochiai for essentially Dragons closer Kazuhiko Ushijima and second baseman Seiji Kamikawa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Seiji Kamikawa.
Correct. And two reserves, both of whom I remember, but both of whose names don't really bear repeating at this stage. After the 1988 season, Giants pitcher Takashi Nishimoto, who was always kind of a hothead, was traded for Chunichi Dragons catcher Takayoshi Nakao.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal because Nishimoto, both players went on to have Nakao was a very successful catcher and who ran afoul of Senichi Hoshino, one of a couple players. And then after the 1993 season, the one I really remember was the Cebu Lions, whose former GM went to Daiye to help kickstart that organization in Fukuoka.
Right.
Lions traded outfielder Koji Akiyama.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointing former Rookie of the Year pitcher Tomio Watanabe. And mm-hmm. another guy for Hawks outfielder Makoto Sasaki, who was very well thought of, and underperforming star pitcher Katsuyoshi Murata, whom the Lions manager thought, I'll teach him to be a star pitcher.
It's Katsuyoshi.
Katsuyoshi Murata.
I thought it was Katsuki. Okay, Katsuyoshi. Hmm.
And reliever Takehiro Hashimoto, who is a sidearmer. And who I think actually turned out, oddly enough, he was like the number 5 guy in that deal. Essentially that trade became Akiyama for Hashimoto.
Right.
He was probably the best player. Sasaki was a mediocre player. He was a mediocre player when he was with Nankai. He was a mediocre player with Dai, and he was a mediocre player with Seibu. Akiyama, of course, went on to have a huge 1999 Japan series for the Hawks.
Yeah, wasn't he the MVP?
I believe he was. He was playing defense like he was a 22-year-old again. So those are the ones I remember.
Okay, all right. And the next question comes from Max in Los Angeles, and thanks for waiting. And he says, what is the Industrial Baseball League? What is the level of competition like? And the viewership, maybe some insight into the history of the league and any relationship it has with NPB. Now, your questions basically amount to a college thesis.
by somebody who's like really, really motivated.
Right. and has to do it, right? But as far as the history of the league, I think you can Google some information about that. So we'll skip that part because I think that's available. But what is the Industrial League and what is the level of competition?
Well, the interesting, I think the viewership or the, you know, who's watching it, they have the biggest, any number of corporate league tournaments around Japan all year. The biggest one is the inner city tournament. And they just completed that in Tokyo with Toyota Motors winning the championship. And
mm-hmm.
Tokyo Dome was was just packed. Well, in the final, the place is packed, and it really rocks. It's a great spectacle. Now, as far as the talent level goes, the corporate league championships are the best corporate league teams are like thinned out MPB teams.
Really, I was going to say a little bit. I would actually have it as a mixture of college level and indie league guys.
Well, you see, you've got guys who step straight out of, you know, industrial league ball, and they become, you know, they're rookies of the year and they're top level players in NPB. They got guys who can really play.
Yeah, scattered, but I think you end up with that in from college too. Some of the top college guys can get into NPB, and I mean, we had one as the rookie of the year in the Pacific League last year.
I think
it's a mixture.
It can happen. Well, I think it is. I think it's better. The level is better than college ball, but you have some guys who are really good, and some of those guys are old enough, and they're kind of thinking, well, I don't want to really, you know, sometimes they don't want to be turned pro because they just got such a sweet, easy deal.
Right.
Then you have, the problem is it thins out really quickly. So it's like when people ask about NPB in the majors, it's a very similar question. You have some of the best players in corporate league ball are nearly as good as some of the best players in NPB.
Nearly, right.
Nearly. The reason that the difference is that you don't have this huge crop of high school stars. The best high school players rarely go into corporate league ball. They pretty much get sucked right into pro baseball, sometimes to their detriment.
Mm.
And so you miss that group, because what you get are the late bloomers. You get a lot of guys who are who take more time to develop, that the scouts overlook, you know, and guys that the scouts don't pay attention to. Guys like Hirokazu Sawamura. He wasn't a corporate league guy; he was a college guy, but people didn't think anything of him coming out of high school.
Right, and that's that.
And then when he finished college, he was, you know, the top prospect in the country.
Right. That's what I was going to say. The relationship to NPB is that these are, obviously it's a feeder system to the top level, but this is a place where guys can go and have the chance to develop by getting some games in against a little bit better competition than
and
high school.
They earn really good salaries. They get really good benefits. They get pensions. They get all this stuff that you don't get. They get all the security that they'll never get in NPB. And it's a lot easier. The workloads are a lot easier. So there's a lot of guys there are a lot of guys in corporate league ball who are easily good enough to play in NPB.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too much trouble.
Well, okay. Some of the famous guys who have come out of the corporate leagues include Junichi Tazawa, who upped his stock there and then said, hey, I'm going to the big leagues.
Yeah,
and
very close. It was he was pitching in the major leagues in July. So
right.
No, it happens a lot. Nomo came out of the corporate leagues. Atsuya Furuta came out of the corporate leagues.
And then Kosuke Fukudome went there because he didn't want to be drafted by the team that drafted him. And he sat out, and then he did what they called
the reverse designation. The players could choose the teams they play with. Hisayoshi Chono, a lot of guys sit out teams they don't want to be drafted for. They go to the corporate leagues. So the quality can be really, really good. It is unusual to see a player like Fukudome playing in corporate league ball, but you do get those on occasion. Another question talking to the talent of corporate league ball, the star catcher for Toyota Motors, Jose Yamada, was the former catcher for the Bay Stars and Hawks.
Oh, okay. I remember him, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, he was the star for Toyota Motors. And so he's basically a minor league guy, a top level of a first team replacement player who's now got a good deal in corporate league ball. So, you know, good for him, good for them.
All right. And, as for the viewership... I know that the games are shown on cable TV here, but I don't ever...
The big tournament games. Championship, usually just the corporate league championship in the autumn and the inner city championship at Tokyo Dome in the summer.
Yeah, on occasion, I mean, I watch obviously a lot of cable TV, so I see.
John
I
has
see,
cable.
I see.
Has John is cable ready? Physically, he's cable ready.
And I see games all the time, just regular season style games, not tournament games. But I don't ever recalling hearing anyone say anything about corporate ball. And I want to go to this game, and I want to watch this game tonight. It just comes on TV, and it's like, a lot of times there's nothing else on, and you watch it. But I can't speak in terms of ratings, but I know that it's not on. It's only on cable. It's not on regular TV.
Yeah, and like I said, you'll see the tournament games, and the major league scouts go to the big tournaments.
Right.
Okay. I guess that as far as the history between NPB, the one thing that it's been really rocky in the past, and you didn't used to be able to see players go from pros back to the amateurs.
Right.
Like you can now. That's because of the Chunichi Dragons. Because early in the 60s, when the Dragons suffered a rash of injuries, I believe, they decided they needed two players, and so they just signed them off of a corporate league roster during their season. And things
you
kind of,
come here.
Yeah, exactly. They said, hey, these two guys, you're not going to miss them. We're just going to sign them. So they got really touchy about that, and all the amateurs banded together to basically kick pro baseball out of any contact with amateur baseball for about 40 years.
Interesting.
It's just thawing out now.
All right. So thank you for the question, Max. Thank you for the question, Costa Freak. And like I said last week, we always invite you to just comment, too. It doesn't have to be a question. It can just be food for thought. Mm-hmm. Send those questions, and especially MP3s, by email to ykyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at #HighHeat, at JBW Podcast on Twitter. Or you can go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See ya.